He's fine. Ready? Okay. Okay, I almost feel like standing up for this class because it's going to be the Lord, I feel, has things in his heart for us today. So I usually have to sit down. I probably have to sit down. I'm going to start standing. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for who you are and the depths of that growing in us as we hold fast to oneness and abide, as our eyes continue to be opened by the Holy Spirit to the wonder and the awe of this crucified one who is our life and how that affects us as we grow in him in all things, how that's so real and beyond doctrine. Lord, thank you for the effects it has within us and through us, and that that was your desire to possess us and fill us, flow out of us, Lord. We want to be so encompassed in your heart that the movements of your heart move us in certain directions, open us in certain ways, cause us to respond out from a certain desire that's emanating from your desire. We need you. Oh, we need you. As one, every moment, as one, we need you. You are the vine and we are your branches. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just take this time for the heart of Jesus' sake, and that you would open the word according to the slain lamb. Speak to your bride and those who are hungry for him in real ways, within them, and through them. So have your way, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm already going to sit down. It took that all that time to get tired there. And that was leaning on the chair. That's okay. So let's go to Joshua. The name, I have a title from the beginning, I believe. It's called Oneness Warfare. Oneness Warfare. And if you're in that midday slouch, you know, like I get every afternoon, it's just natural, you are welcome to stand up, to shake it off, to, I think the Lord has special, some things from his heart today that could be very, very helpful, but you'll have to stay awake. And I know that this group here does. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I feel, and you know, in saying that, there's just like, it's like the banks of the Jordan are overflowing out of the Bible. It's just overflowing. I can't stop seeing him in these places where we're going to be sharing. And so the Holy Spirit is going to take us where he wants to minister Christ in us and to us, and he's going to communicate it by his Spirit. But I just have a feeling, because that's how it's affecting me, is this isn't teaching today. This is answers. I think it's answers, and it's practical things from the Word of God. And may the Spirit of God do the teaching today. So in Joshua, okay, and let's just go to chapter 1. We're going to be looking at Rahab. She is the focus of our discussion today on oneness warfare. She's the one who did it, and she's our example, and she's the example God. Listen, you know, you go to the book of Joshua, and that's the book of entering in, right? What is it? It's the book of getting out of the wilderness. It's getting into the land. It's the book of I'm tired of wandering. How many people feel that way in their lives? I mean, me, right here. I can tell you, everyone just hold up your heart to the Lord and say, there is an area where I have been wandering for so long and I have not entered in a living union, in a fruitful union, where it is your life in me, Lord. And this is the area I hold up. And you, Father, you're welcome to move on any area you see and know the depths of me and where your son is and is not and needs to be. But I hold up this area with faith in my heart, that I'm ready to stop wandering and I'm ready to enter in through Jesus Christ, through oneness and through the cross. Just let that faith be held, okay? beyond this moment by your heart. So Joshua speaks of, it's time to enter in. You know, we have had so many books and chapters and years, 80 years of wandering, two generations worth. And we're ready to start living this thing, right? Christ is life. Amen. And so Joshua, who, what does his name mean? Savior. And also, Yeshua. Jesus. I knew you were going to say it. Of course, Jesus. Jesus pops on the scene and says, let's enter in. Jesus pop. You know, if we had, correct me if I'm wrong, Julie, but if we had the Hebrew translation of this book, if I turned my page to the book of Joshua, I would see the word Jesus. It would be Jesus's book. The book of Jesus. Let's go to the book of Jesus. Okay? And why is Jesus showing up on the scene? Because Deuteronomy and Exodus and Leviticus, the law wasn't cutting the mustard. Wasn't cutting the mustard. What does that mustard mean? We were not entering into anything but getting more religious, more self-righteous, more miserable, more carnal,
more critical, more dry.
So he's like, it's time to step back, Moses. Moses is dead. It says it in verse 1. It's time for Jesus to come on the scene and be a son in you. Okay, now that's not the lesson. But like I said, the banks are overflowing in this book, and I need to stay on course. But Joshua's on the scene. But guess Jesus is on the scene. He says, you can't enter in. You know how I know that? 80 years of proving it. And 400 years before that, and then a whole bunch before that. You know, we've proved it. Hopefully we can really say I'm coming to the end of myself, at least in the sense of just, I'm a mess. I'm a train wreck. I'm a nightmare. I'm an animal. I'm a beast in a cage that only the law can lock for a certain amount of time before I figure out the combination to let myself out on everyone around me. It takes time for us to really break with our pride and our excuses and realize what we really are, but the law has its magic, and it does its job, and it brings us to that end. But then Jesus shows up on the scene, right on time, right when we're at that place, right when we realize I am, you know, not abiding in the true vine. I am not abiding in the true vine. What would that make you if you were abiding in a false vine, abiding in union with wild vines? What would another word for that be? The Bible uses it all the time. If I'm not abiding in the true vine, right, because I'm just all messed up and living by my flesh and living under the law and my own righteousness, I'm not abiding in union with the crucified Christ, with Jesus, Joshua. I have to be abiding somewhere. There's not just this nebulous nirvana state where you're not abiding in anything. You're either abiding in Jesus or you're abiding somewhere else. In death, right? And who is someone who's in union with death, bringing forth fruit unto death? What would the Bible call that from time? A harlot. What is the harlot? Someone who's abiding in union with wild vines. I mean, that's, if we take it from a spiritual point of view, which is the point of view that we should take it from, because that's what the scriptures are declaring. It's someone who's not really been abiding in union with Christ crucified, but has been drawing life from other governments, from flesh. Amen? That would be a harlot, wouldn't it? It is to me, and I believe that the Word of God declares it a lot in the Old Testament. Read the book of Hosea for an example. Then go to Jeremiah for another one. It's all over the prophets. It's all over. But here we see, we turn the page, we're ready to enter in, we find Jesus staring us in the face, and the person of Joshua, type and shadow of Christ, crucified and risen. But we turn the page to just chapter 2, and we are also confronted with a harlot. Okay? We're confronted with Jesus and a harlot. When are we confronted with Jesus and a harlot? When it's time to enter in. Now, who would you pick to stand right there beside Jesus as one of the main characters in this play when it's really time to get serious and enter in? You'd probably pick some extremely righteous, doing well, highly honored spiritual mother in Israel, right? And you would say, oh, this is when that highly honored spiritual prophetess, mother, divine, supreme spiritual entity stands stoically alongside Joshua and says, with wind again, shall I go into my British accent, flowing through her hair, it's time to enter in, because I'm so ready, and I've been doing so good. I'm so pristine in my faith, and my spiritual walk is tremendous. No, we get Rahab the harlot. Why? Because spiritually speaking, these things were written for us. We need to come to an end of ourselves and realize that if we haven't been living in union with the crucified Christ, which if we had been, we'd already have entered in, we're living in a form of wild vine union, right? In certain ways, okay? Doesn't mean we're not in Christ. Doesn't mean we're not the people of God. Doesn't mean we're not saved. It means that the way we function is not by the living mind of the Lamb flowing through us with rivers of living water based on his nature flooding us from the inside out. So we've got a harlot and we've got Jesus. Amen? And things are resonating in that area, in the land, in... Yes, it's a story. Yes, it's a historical time. Yes, it's in the scriptures. But spiritually speaking, in which these scriptures are, and that time is pointing towards, there's something resonating. There's something reverberating. There's something in the air. There's a season change happening with the people of God. Have you ever felt that in your life, in a community, in a move of the Lord, in a season of his dealing or whatnot in a group? There are times when the season changes and the spirit changes with that season. We've had a season of soaking last year. Did not we all who are a part of that feel the spirit moving in a certain manner and that the word was in a certain way and the hearts responded in a certain tenor because it was a season ordained of God? So this turning of the page to Joshua, this entrance into this spiritual season, is a time of entering in. It's a God-ordained time of entering in. Jesus is stepping on the scene with the purpose in his heart to help us to enter in. This is God's desire. And it's only going to happen one way. It ain't going to be through the great spiritual, strong prophetess or great man of God, mighty valor, whatnot. It's only going to happen one way and one way alone. And that way is based on right here. What's that word?
Oneness.
Oneness. It is only going to happen through oneness. It is only going to happen through oneness. And I believe, and we haven't even started in the class, the notes, whatever. But I believe that's one of the reasons why Rahab is such a highlighted and key player in this display here, in this time period, in these scriptures. Because she is going to enter in through oneness, even though she's a foreign woman in a foreign land living in a stronghold who is a harlot, that the power of what God can do when we join with him in his death, burial, and resurrection, and I'm going ahead of the game here, but when we enter in through the cross by oneness, when we enter in to him in his death, burial, and resurrection, it don't matter where we are, who we are, what we are, whatever happened before that. He is well able. Be not discouraged nor afraid. Take courage. Why? What can he not do through oneness? Remember that class where the Spirit of the Lord just started with those sayings? He said, what can I not do through oneness? What can I not do through oneness? Well, that's what we need to ask ourselves when we're looking at the giants in our land, the giants in us, the things that have discouraged us and broken us, broken our faith, broken our desire to continue on, pushed us away from the Lord, made us feel that we weren't in all the things that the enemy has used, coupled with our response to seeing our lack, that has taken us out of faith instead of into it. Joshua, Jesus is standing alongside, if you will, that harlot inside of her Jericho. And he is saying, what can I not do through oneness? What can I not do through oneness? And he won't let it be an Israelite. And he won't let it be an Israelite having issues in their tent outside the camp a little ways down the road, because we'd still attribute some righteousness to being a Jew, one of the people of God, someone within the camp. So he's going to take us not just to Jericho, or not just into the land, but into the stronghold of Jericho to make his point. And he's not just going to take us into the stronghold of Jericho, he's going to take us into one room in that stronghold where there is a harlot who has faith. And that's, right, that's where we're heading. So let's go to Joshua 2, verse 1. We'll just, the word of God is just, it says it. It just says it. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy. Okay, oh, right there in that sentence. You know, he sent out two men. He said, let's move from this place. Let's go forward. You see what I mean? He's releasing Joshua. Jesus Christ crucified is sending out his emissaries. He's sending out his agents. See, these guys are one with him. And we're not supposed to stay in Shittim. We're supposed to move in the direction of what the land of promise was meant to be, possessed. That's where we're going to be. And he said, view the land. He says to them, view the land. Now, last time, 40 years ago, when Moses, or when they sent out 40 or 12 spies, what happened? It was nasty. It was really sad, really bad. Really bad. But, okay, we're at a new season. We got a new group here, okay? And he's sending two, not 12. No, notice. Yeah. There's no 12 this time. We're going to find two good ones. We're going to find the Joshua and Caleb of this generation. Don't send those 10 guys. Only the Joshua and the Caleb, right? They learned their lesson. Joshua was there with Moses when that happened, and he said, he went through his journal and went, note taken. Who are the two that have a spirit of faith? Send them in. The spirit of the risen Christ. That's right. They went in. Okay. He's, go view the land, right? Go view the land. And then he says, even Jericho. What? Jericho? You know, it's like the haunted house on the hill that none of the kids wanted to ever go near. Oh, we can't go there. We'll go everywhere, but we can't go there. Evil, weird, nasty, dangerous people live in that house. We'll search out the neighborhood, but we won't go up to, they know, that house. And so, you know, Joshua says to these guys, go search out the land. Even Jericho, go to the stronghold. Go to that place where you've always been afraid to go. Go to the place where the enemy always said, this is mine. You'll never get free. You are too strong in this area. You are too grafted into the old vine, the dead vine. You're too set in your ways, etc., right? But there's such a spirit of faith in Joshua based on being a type of the risen Christ who's already subdued everything in his death and resurrection and made us one already. And he's saying, go to Jericho. Go to the stronghold that looks so fortified and so foreboding and so impossible to overcome. And then in verse 2, it was told the king of Jericho saying, oh wait, no, I didn't finish the sentence there. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So somehow, you know, immediately they went to Jericho and they went to Rahab. And I believe the Lord guided them to Rahab because she had a heart. She had the right kind of heart. Though she was a harlot, though she was living in this stronghold, this enemy-fortified stronghold that she chose to abide in, that she chose to dwell in. You know, it says, abide in me. She was abiding in Jericho. But there was something in her heart that had an openness, that was willing to open, something in her heart that honored the true God. And we'll see that. Something that the spies went there. And they lodged there. They lodged in her place. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho the king of this fortified city sent for Rahab, this little harlot, and said, "Bring forth the men who are come unto thee, who are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out all the country." Okay, and we were talking about this, this tenor, this feel, this spirit. Now, you know, the cross in our lives, in churches, in conferences, in gatherings, wherever, whatever, mostly it's our heart that we need to be considering. The cross can take many forms. It can take the form of inspiration. Some of you have read Randy's book on the revelation of Christ. It goes through different stages in the progression of knowing him by revelation. But there's times when the cross inspires us. There's times when the cross is illuminated to us in such a powerful way by the Holy Spirit that it's like we see the mystery of the cross. Spiritually, we comprehend things, but still Christ isn't life in us. That slaughtered lamb isn't manifesting by his nature. And then there's seasons where that veil is about to break free from our hearts. It's already broken open when he was crucified, but it's about to leave the land of illumination and enter into oneness, where the floodgate is just unleashed by that veil. Just the two become one. There's no separating of a veil over our heart with that openness, that turning that begins to happen. And it's in these seasons where the cross begins to take a new form, a new feel. There's a new sense of the Spirit lifting him up in us and to us, where he's no longer that deep doctrine thing that would never intimidate the king of Jericho. He's like broken bread and poured out wine. He's real. You can taste him, you can smell him, you can partake of him, you can enter into him, you can breathe him in. The Spirit's beginning to make that lamb, that slaughtered lamb, that crucified lamb, so real that it's like waves are coming off of him. Waves are being released out of him that just are sending terror to the enemy, but are inspiring faith to the weak. Because these waves are coming off of Joshua, the crucified, the head, the fullness of the body, the risen one who's claimed us through his scars and through his death bought us, who's now made us one. There's something coming off of him, and people who are in tune are receiving of that feel. And the people that are in the land close to the Jordan are starting to feel this change. They're starting to feel these waves. And it's not just affecting the people of God, it's affecting the enemies of God. And see, these enemies in the land, they're not representing the people who don't like the message of the cross, the people who have persecuted. No, they're the enemies in us. The enemies in us get nervous. Yeah, those are the enemies we should look at, not outside. Right here, just right here. So this king says to her intimidatingly, "Bring them forth." And instead of doing that, she is saying, "You know, I'm gonna hide these spies that bear this spirit, that bear this other kind of government, that bear the essence of the crucified, of the Joshua, of the true." And this king is screaming in my mind, these spies, they have the DNA of slaughtered lamb in them. And within that victory of Christ crucified, the whole land can be destroyed. They've come for the whole, he says it right there, they've come to search out the whole country. Something in that king knew this is serious. This could end everything. And Rahab goes, "But I'm going to put him. I'm going to hold fast to the mind of Christ, even if it's just two little spies from a far place that I haven't even seen yet, while I'm abiding in a stronghold of the enemy. I'm going to protect them and I'm going to keep them safe, and I'm going to let them abide in me. I'm going to let the mind of Christ, I'm going to let the new thoughts, just putting it on, the new thoughts that are emanating from the heart of Jesus concerning me in him, I'm going to protect them. I'm not going to push them out of me because the king of Jericho is going, hey, you know, you've lived in my stronghold for a long time and you belong to me, and you go, why do you, don't get those guys out, get that thought, go get the mind of Christ out, get faith out, you know, get those spies out. They could take the whole country. That's powerful stuff they carry. They carry the cross within them, you know. And instead of doing that, and now once again, we're meant to note Rahab's responses and Rahab's actions, because it's written for us, for those of us who want to enter in, you know, enter into the land and let it be possessed. So the king of Jericho wants to stop this forward movement, but she begins to hide. And it says here, in verse 4, the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I knew not from whence they were. And so she's telling the king things to protect the men. You can read that in verse 4 and 5. Verse 6 says, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And I won't go on there, so we can stay with our point here. So Rahab hid them. She hid the seed of the crucified in the form of two spies. She hid them in her heart and mind. She hid them even somehow knowing that they were able to take down the whole old creation, strongholds and awe and all. So she's taking a step to let what's reverberating out way out there find entrance into her stronghold, into her heart, into her mind. Even before there's, I mean, listen, this, nothing has happened in the land. Nothing. They had some battles that they won at the edge of the wilderness. But this is their first big thing in the land. And the first person to have play in that decision-making process with Israel entering in is a little harlot named Rahab, sitting in a big stronghold where she's been living. And the things that she is doing and how her heart is responding are for us today. There are keys within her responses that can set us free as we join with Jesus through oneness in these ways that she did. And so Rahab, from the distance of all across those many, many, many miles between where the children of Israel is camped in Shittim, to where she is now planted in Jericho. I don't know how many miles that is, how far that is, but word has got out. This spirit is resonating, and this woman is catching it even from such a distance. And we hear that here in verse 8 of chapter 2. And before they were laid down, she came up to the roof. So she's coming up to the roof where the spies are. Verse 9 in chapter 2. And she says unto these men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us. And all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. What was it that the 12 spies said last time someone gave a report? We are as grasshoppers before these inhabitants. They are bigger than us. They are stronger than us. Listen to this lady. She's living in a fortress of those big, strong inhabitants. And she is saying, your terror is fallen upon us, the inhabitants of the land, faint because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. They just had finished those battles on the other side of the Jordan. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Hallelujah. She's tapping into something here of the cross. You can see the clues in her words. She's saying, we heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, even when they were on the other side of the cross of the Jordan. What could you do on this side of the Jordan after you've crossed over? If you did that to Sihon and Og before you even crossed over the Jordan, what the heck are you going to do to us once you cross through that death and bear the power of that dying in your beings? When she told the spies to go back, she said, go hide 3 days in the wilderness and then go. 3 days, it's all over. 3 days here, 3 days there, all over these chapters. 3 days. She's feeling, maybe she's not understanding, and it's all just type and shadow at this point, but she's feeling there's power in this cross. There's power in the Lamb. There's power in this way that we have not gone before. This way that we have not, and that's going to come up later. Hallelujah. So, verse 11, yeah. So she is bearing in her heart the good report that these spies are going to bring back to Joshua. She's giving that report as an inhabitant in the land. Who is giving that report? Someone who has no right to give that report. Someone who should not have let them in. Someone who should have handed them over to the king of Jericho. Someone who should have said, whatever you did with Sihon and Og on the other side of the Jordan, we're fortified, we're prepared, we've got time to get ready for this. Instead, she quoted victories of God way back to when they came out from Egypt. She's rehearsing their history, the history of the slaughtered lamb, back to these spies. She's speaking the language of the bride of Christ. I mean, she's not there, but she's saying the right things. She's saying it in a state of being a harlot. She's saying it in a state of being trapped in the walls of her own stronghold. She's saying it being far, far removed from the people of God and not of the right lineage. But she's saying it. She's saying it. She's saying it. You want to get free? It's time to get that good report up. The spies didn't say it to her. They didn't say, listen, we've come from a far country. We've been sitting at the feet of Joshua. We just had this huge victory even on the other side of the Jordan. We are like the cowboys right now. We're so full of victory and encouragement. We're just going to flood you with, yeah, team spirit. No. She's not been there. She's far removed. She should be depressed. She should be like, everything's bad. Oh, woe is me. No, she's taking them in. She's standing up to the king. She's giving them a history lesson. She's giving them the good report. You know, she's beginning to move in realms of oneness. How are you going to get free? You're going to have to start moving in realms of oneness and not wait for the cheerleaders to come and do it for you. Not wait for the two spies to pep rally you into it. You need to pep rally the two spies. Yeah, and I will tell you something. We're going to skip to the part that I shouldn't, but I'm going to. Right? I think I've got to do this. Hold on just a second. Ah, it has to be there. What's the spiritual? Oh, mm-hmm. I'm going to find this because it is so cool. Yeah, Joshua. Right, so go to verse 23, okay? So the two spies returned and descended from the mountain which they had been staying in for 3 days, because she told them to, if I remember correctly. You can check that out. And they passed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun. Passed over what? They passed over the Jordan, went back to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told them all things that beheld them. They said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hand all the land, for even the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Where did they get that information? Rahab. Rahab set the whole taking the land after 80 years of wild wanderness, wildering, and 400 years of bondage, 480 years of being stagnant and just stuck in a rut. This little woman, because she spoke oneness and she held her heart to it in her misbegotten state, in her stronghold realm, she set forth a whole new season for the people of God, because in verse 3, Chapter 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan and lodged there. He said, well, let's go. Let's head for the Jordan. Let's take steps to possess this land. Based on what? Based on a good report that came from a little harlot. Okay, so we get in these situations and we go, it's impossible. I'm too far gone. I'm too far removed. I'm too far from that lineage. I'm too much not after that kind. I don't have his image in me. I can't barely understand what the cross means. This stuff about the lamb terrifies me. I don't understand these things because the stronghold about me clutters my mind and makes it where I can't hear through the walls and makes me feel cold and damp and like the old creation. No, yeah. But if two spies come, sent of Joshua, and you bring them into your house and you let them come into your heart and mind, you are on your way to total oneness, total manifest, fruitful freedom because of his life filling you. Don't despise small beginnings. The enemy always wants to make us look at ourselves and despise the smallness of the first step of the journey out. You know, look at yourself, look at the strength of this situation, look at your sin in the situation. You're a harlot, you're in union with this, that's why you're here. The enemy's here, you've allowed it, you've abode with it. It's been a long time, there's probably some children, fruit of that union, right? So you need to take responsibility, you need to live under this curse that you brought yourself on. But no, that's not the spirit of it. That's not the spirit of it. Why? Because this whole resonating, powerful, new season is coming because of the cross. It's coming because of the victory of Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Not in a doctrinal way. The doctrinal way we've studied in the law of Moses. We've talked about it. We've gone over it and over it. But now it's time to eat the bread, drink the wine, be baptized into the death, remove ourselves from this place, get after it, and that, enter in. It's time to enter in. It's time to enter in. It's time to enter in. All that dead stuff is left behind. No more manna falling down. It's time to let the seed come in the ground and bring forth after its kind within us. That's the season of it. But all of the impetus, all of the momentum of that is because of the power of his death. It's because of what he has purchased and accomplished in his death. And therefore, they removed themselves from Shittim at the word of that good report, and they brought themselves to one place. Let's go to the Jordan where the cross can be applied. All right, back to Rahab. So usually when I think about Rahab, I go, oh yeah, chapter 2. Yeah, there's a little story about Rahab. It's cute. And yay, Rahab. And the Lord's never really spoke to me there, so that's it. So when the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and started talking about Rahab, I said, oh, I'll check that out. Because Spirit of the Lord is all stirring. And I went, wait, she's in chapter 2. But then she shows up again in chapter 6. So what's going on in chapters 3, 4, and 5? A whole heck of a lot of the applied cross in the people of God. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on in those chapters with huge significance. But let's look at this, her window. Let's go to just Joshua 2:21. Rahab says, according to your words, so be it. This is after the spies are about to leave and they tell her that they need to put this scarlet red cord out of her window so that when they come back they can identify her, and that if she continues to cover them and abide in that union, that when the city falls, she will not fall, nor none of her household that abide with her. Okay, so she says to them in chapter 2, verse 21, and she said, according to your words, so be it. We know another woman who said that and brought forth Christ, Mary, the mother of Jesus. You can just feel the faith dripping off out of this woman, men. And she sent them away, and they departed, and then she bound that scarlet line in the window. Okay. There's our next step. She bound that scarlet cord in the window. Her window was her heart's eyes, viewing and partaking of her true identity in Christ crucified, in Israel, in all that they were going to go through, in all that they had gone through in the cross. That window is where she's not identifying with the walls of her stronghold anymore. There is a new light coming into her heart that's shining past all of this junk and past all that has been, straight into the Israel of God, straight into the crucified and his cross that's resonating right on the other side of the Jordan right now. Her scarlet cord is there. Her scarlet cord is like a shoot out of her branch. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are my branches. Her scarlet cord is like a shoot coming out of her branch, cleaving and engrafting itself into God and his people like Ruth did. Can you see that? You ever seen a vine just kind of working its way around a wall and just, you know, kind of going, I see that red cord out of Rahab's window, like this shoot coming out of a branch, and it's reaching, it's cleaving, it's pressing, it's pushing, it's feeling, it's fighting its way by faith, abiding in oneness with the people of God. They're on the other side of the Jordan right now. They're encamped right on that side of the Jordan, ready to cross. And that window is open. Her heart's saying, I see who I am. I see who I am. It's not this room. It's not this big city. It's not that king. Well, on the other side of the Jordan, there's a people, the people of God. God is with them, and he's going to bring them through a process. It's going to bring them forth, and they're going to possess everything in this land. It's going to be filled with the Christ. It's going to be filled with that nature. My heart's there. Even though I'm stuck here, my faith, my cord of faith, my abiding oneness shoot of faith is reaching out and grafting into that people, into that God, into that crucified. And that window and that cord are working together. Their eyes and her heart are working together to abide in a living and true oneness that will be accounted unto her as righteousness. She's putting works to her faith because she's abiding. She's cleaving with purpose of heart. We talked about that. Her heart is reaching forth past her wild vine abode, past her present condition, into abiding in oneness with God and all he is and all that are his. So she is like in the, I always see her up in one of the higher rooms in the stronghold, and that window is, I have no idea. This is just a thought that comes to my mind, but it's like she's looking out of her window, and it's like she's got a balcony view of this incredible picture, you know, of all these Israelites fixing to cross over the Jordan. And she's like hanging out the window. She's got her red cord going like this. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm one. I am one. And she's saying, I see. That's what I see. Who I am. And she's watching the priests go into the Jordan. She's watching them bear the Ark of Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant. They're going in, and the waters are, you know, they're falling back, and the people are crossing over, and all this stuff is happening, and she's going, that's happening to me. I'm in that. I'm in that. I'm crossing, and that cross is happening. Where he died, I died. Where he was buried, I was buried. Who said that? A Moabite. She's in, I think this area is, no, Shittim was more the Moab area, but she's out in that realm of the foreigners that shouldn't be allowed to do this. She's going, hey, yeah, that's my death. I'm walking through that Jordan with those people. I'm applying the cross with those people. That's my salvation. That's my death. That's my burial. I'm one. And she's identifying with it. And those spies go, if you keep that stand in your heart, you keep that window open, that cord hanging out of it, girl, this whole stronghold's going to fall, but you're going to rise. Why? Because you already died. You already died. You were already judged. When was I judged? When you put your faith and your oneness and your heart and your view on who you really are, based on his death, based on his burial, based on his resurrection, let all nations come unto me. Let all men, all tribes gather. He died for them all, for all of us. Whomsoever will, let him come freely. Partake of the crucified, drink his blood, eat his flesh, be part of him through oneness, enter into oneness. So she's doing it. She's doing it. What is she doing? She's showing us how we can become the stronghold that gets possessed by the Lamb. She's showing us how we can become a stronghold that held the enemy and held ground for the enemy in the earth and perpetrated the enemy's ways into the earth and brought forth fruit unto the flesh, how someone in that dire of a condition can stand up in their heart, open the window of their eyes, put forth that faith like a cord of scarlet, like a branch, and begin to, with purpose of heart, identify in his death, his burial, and his resurrection in a real way. That's the thing. It wasn't a story to Rahab. It wasn't an event. She didn't go to a football game and watch Team Israel have a victory game at the Jordan. She didn't observe from a distance. Sometimes we observe from a distance. Sometimes we're spectators and it's a sport. We go to a conference and it's a spectator sport. We go to an event and we're taking notes. We're a reporter. We talk to people and we're asking questions. We're just chatting, having a cup of tea. Rahab wasn't having cups of tea. She wasn't a reporter. It wasn't a spectator event to her. It wasn't the Super Bowl of entering in at the Jordan. This was her death, her burial, and her resurrection. And I mean, that's how one she was with it. That's how one she was with it. You know, and there's a spirit of faith, and it's a good fight. Because it's a finished work. And we have to begin to allow the Holy Spirit, who was sent from God when Jesus ascended and was arisen, we rose together with him, and we were seated together in him, and we were received into the Father as one with Jesus based on his death, burial, and resurrection. The Holy Spirit was sent from that finished work, which wasn't a work, it was a reality in God. And he came to testify of that reality to us in a real way, as a real person, with a real heart. And he carries within his wings and within his little beating bosom a spirit that can breathe something into us that we don't have in ourselves. A spirit of faith, a spirit that opens us in ways where it was just a doctrine before. It was just somebody else's victory. It was just an event or an inspirational teaching. But only when the heart turns towards the Lord will the veil be rent. You're never going to get past it because God made it that way. So the heart must turn. Rahab's did, and it set in course such a chain of events, such a chain of events. And we're just going to look at a few things that she abode with that was happening when she was watching that situation. I'm going to stay away. I'm going to stay away from that. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so now we're going to skip a bit, and we're going to go to chapter 6. So as she has been watching this incredible crossing of the Jordan, she has been observing the cross be applied to the people in ways that were meant to reach them in a real way and change them, to impact, okay, the real deal. And she's participating in it by faith. Okay, so when you get to chapter 6, the people have finished this process of crossing over the Jordan, of entering into the death of Christ in a very real way, not just a doctrinal way, and participating in that death, letting it get them, letting it do its work in them. Okay, all of that now has happened by chapter 6. Why is that important? Because what happens to Rahab in chapter 6 is a totally different event than what happened to her in chapters 2 through 5. Why is that? Tell me if you're catching this, if anyone's getting what I'm saying. In a very short version.
They were in death, and now she's going to be raised up, and you can't miss the death part.
That's definitely part of it. Well, yeah, because in chapters 2 through 5, she's identifying with them as the cross is being applied to them, and she's saying, it's applied to me too, I'm in this process, I'm part of this. But when we get to chapter 6, they've all passed over. So what are these people full of that have passed over the Jordan and gone through this process? Yeah, they are to be contended with. Why? Because they've let the cross have place in them. It's just not a doctrine to these ones. These people are ready to possess, to let the Lamb have his way, to let the Lamb have his throne, to let the Lamb possess every inward part and flow and take the whole land. These people are full of not their own life, not their own seed, not their own mind, but they've allowed that death and that burial to have place in them and now to bring forth another spirit, another life. So in chapter 6, you got a whole new crew of folks surrounding Jericho. Okay, and most of us understand this or remember or have heard or read the story of Jericho where they march around for 7 days, and on the seventh day they march around 7 times, and at the end they all shout and they're blowing ram's horns and all this, and Jericho falls without them ever touching or doing anything. Okay, let me see what I've got written here with my notes, but page 1, 2, 3. Right, okay, so, all right, so you've got these people doing this, and here you have Rahab in her little room, everything around her. I mean, these people are shouting the cross. They're breathing the crucified. They're releasing the Lamb. I mean, a savor of life, a savor of life, a savor of death, a savor of death. I mean, these people are the real deal. They're carrying the testimony. I mean, really, that's just meant to show us that they're bearing the real crucified Christ within their being. They're releasing real life. It's a real thing. Jesus is coming out of these folks. The Lamb of God is being manifested, and they're encompassing this stronghold with the judgment that life brings, with the reality that this Jesus is Lord, and he is alive, and he has overcome. And for everyone in that building, in that stronghold, in that city, that was terrifying. That was pure judgment. That was death. But to Rahab, what do you think it sounded like when those people were marching? And what do you think that sound was like to Rahab? Where they were marching and blowing their ram's horns. Just crazy Israelites. They're terrifying us. But she's going, that's my victory. Woo! Yeah! That's my victory march. Yeah! That's, yes! I mean, she's probably screaming out her window and they're slapping her down. What? Woman? Good Lord, what's wrong with you? She's like, that's me. Everyone's like, oh, we're going to die. And they were, and they all did. But to her, the preaching of the cross didn't sound like torture. To her, the preaching of the cross didn't sound like, oh my gosh, God doesn't love me. I'm so terrible. Oh, I'm so ashamed. Oh, I have so much regret. Oh, the guilt is too much. I can't look at it. Who does that sound like? One of the Jericho folks that didn't let the cross really come into them through the Jordan. Oh, I can't bear that sound. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like I'm not loved. It sounds like I'm left out. It sounds like I'll never make it. It sounds like I'm not good enough. This preaching of the cross is terrifying me. Well, if you're feeling that way, when you hear that glorious sound of the death of Christ and burial of Christ, and the truth that we are part of this crucified one, then it's time to go to the Jordan and do some real business. Because to Rahab, she was just like, glory to God! Yes, I am judged in his death. I am buried in his burial. I am risen in his resurrection. And I have already been judged. And I'm already in him. I was in him before it manifested, before anyone even heard of it. I took those spies in. I was believing reports I heard before the spies came. This is real to me before anything's changed. And now that things are shaken and quaking and judgment sirens are blowing and this cross is sounding loud, all I hear is the sound of the one I love, the one I'm joined to, the one I've already been raised and made one with. See, her whole view was different, like Caleb and Joshua. Goodness, Joshua was one of the spies. Hello. Those of you who got me on that earlier in the class. Yep. Joshua was one of the spies. Yes, him and Caleb. Amen. Right. So there's a different spirit going on in her. What do I mean by we need to go to the Jordan? Well, you know, we just need to put our faith. We need to abide in oneness with him so that we don't go through the judgment all in the sense of identifying with something that he already bore for us, that he brought us into in his son, that he carried us and our guilt and our shame and our sin and our old nature and all that would build that. He put that into death and brought it into burial and removed it. So that we could be removed from it by faith, by receiving that new identity that he's given us, made us in himself through his cross. But there's a spirit behind that. There's a heart behind that. Something in us just goes, I am ready. I am ready to receive and believe the good report, Lord. I am ready to open my window and pray towards Jerusalem. I'm ready to open my window and let my red cord down of faith and abide as one with everything that happened in God's Son, everything that happens to his people, that I am joined because of his death, because he opened that door for me. And, you know, it's just words. It's just dead teaching. It's just until our hearts get to that point where we're ready. We're ready to bust that move in that area. And in that moment, you have to say, it's not about me, my condition, how strong this fortified situation that my life has been in, is how long it's been up, how strong and how thick these walls are, how much the enemy has done in this building, in this city, in this room. None of that matters. None of it means a thing. It's as a drop in the bucket. A nation is as a drop in the bucket to the Lord. How much our little area, it's gone. But for our hearts to, if we can just, maybe someone's at a place where they just let the spy in. I'm ready to open up to a new view that's different than the way I've thought about myself in this area. Maybe I'm ready to let a spy come in and give me his view, bring Joshua's heart to me. You know, I may not be ready to fling my window wide open and throw out my red cord, but I am ready to let this spy in. And I'm ready to go up on the roof, because she went up there. She went up there and had a little conversation. You know, she could have just went to bed and said, well, they're up there, and I, you know, it's time for, you know, my whatever evening tea, or I'll just go to bed and let them, you know. No, she went up there and said, hey, let's talk. Let's have a little conversation. Got you guys upstairs in my roof. You know, but that's the thing. We go to bed at night and we go, I got the Holy Spirit up in my roof. You know, those spies are hid up there, all those wonderful things Joshua sent me from his heart to help me know his spirit. But I got, you know, TV show I need to watch. I got something I got to do. It's busy stuff, business, people, things in the earth, important things. And those little spies go, okay, well, we'll just go to bed. You do your busy things downstairs, Rahab, because I know there's a lot of stuff to do in Jericho. Jericho's not going to be around long, but you need to take care of business in Jericho. It's important. We're going to go to, we could have had a wonderful evening of fellowship and shared all these things about Joshua with you, but you know, it's okay. There'll be another, well, no, there won't be because we have to leave tomorrow, but yeah, oops. You know, we have to be that. I have to be that person that gets up in the night and goes, hey, spies, what's going on? What's going on with Joshua? What's going on in his heart? What's fixing to come? Oh, we're going to go through the Jordan. Oh my gosh, he wants to pass over. Whee! Can I be a part? Yes. Red cord window. I got it. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm all in. Tell me more. Well, you can bring everybody in. If you bring your whole family into this, I'll come to you. Yeah, get him in the house. Okay, I'll do that. Yeah. We can all enter into one. Sure. Yeah. Wow. I'm serious. It's like, we got to go up there and have that conversation. Then we got to open that window when we're ready. Then we've got to take that position in our heart where we're viewing with faith something that we used to call them instead of me. And we got to let that cord reach out and abide, graft and cleave in, with purpose of heart holding fast, you know? And not break union when we see contrary things in us, or say contrary things, or do contrary things, or feel old things from Jericho, or the king comes and tries to pull us away, break that vine, you know? We just hold fast. And if you do that long enough, then God's going to send those people around your house. They're going to be screaming and declaring, and they're going to be encompassing you. It's like a total environment feel. They're encompassing you with the truth of you're in Christ. Christ is in you. He has made us one. He's already made us one. The victory is one. The victory is O-N-E. The victory is O-N-E. The victory is W-O-N. Because what he did when he died and rose us up is his body. It's done. They're going to encompass you. They're going to breathe that. They're going to play horns up to your window. Doo, doo, doo. You're in Christ. You're one. Woo! Yeah. And they're breathing that spirit. Woo! You know, and it's going for 7 days, and it's encompassing you. The body of Christ surrounding you, the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, and you're holding your faith, and you're keeping your gaze, and you're holding your heart, and you're abiding in oneness. And before too long, what happens? Walls come tumbling down. They do. Because why? The word of God is true. It's in the Bible. They come tumbling down. They do. What are the works that you must do? Believe in me, Jesus said. These are the works. Believe in me. Abide in me. He's done it all. We just need to believe. Hold that good report. Abide in that oneness. What does that mean practically? Remember the area you raised your hand and you held before the Lord's heart? What do these steps mean to you in a practical way in those areas? I want you to write them down, and I want you to bring them to class next week, including people on Skype if you want to participate as a student. I want everyone to take this week with the Holy Spirit and say, based on Rahab's steps, what steps can I take in this area to get out of Jericho and get in with the people of God, get in with the crucified as my fruitful vine, my true vine? What steps can I take? And the Holy Spirit will breathe spirit and life on the Word of God. And he will reveal to you things of the heart of Jesus for you right where you're at. And he will speak to you and help you. And he's going to help me. I need the Lord in this way right now. I have my area that I held up, and I am holding it up all day long, all night long, and I'm not going to let him up. I'm going to press in for his heart's sake, that Joshua might take what belongs to him, his bride, his body, his land, our hearts. But it's going to require faith. How many times have we used and heard the word faith today? It's just huge, isn't it? Faith isn't an emotion. It is an inspiration. It isn't something we have to work up in our senses. It's something that comes from our heart. Something that comes from our heart where we just turn towards the Lord and we say, Jesus, I'm with you. I can't produce a teardrop. I can't produce an emotional response. I can't produce some great soliloquy to explain to the body my tremendous move of heart. I can't, and I don't think you're looking for that. I think you're looking for my heart, and I think you see my heart and know my heart apart from anything I manifest outwardly. And you just tell the Lord, my heart is with you. My heart is yours. I identify in you, Lord Jesus, in your death, in your burial. I identify in you, Lamb of God, who was crucified. I identify in your death and all that it means for your people and all that it does to your people and all that it brings forth in your people. I identify in you, in your heart and in your inward parts. I identify in your desires. And I ask the Holy Spirit to give me steps to make that more real in me, in the sense of possessing more of me by his nature and by his mind. Lord, I just tell you that this is my faith right now. And there was a man that came to Jesus and said, I just don't have much faith. Help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. Well, Lord, you can help. Help us with our faith. Lord Jesus, help us understand that it's not by the works of the flesh, but it's by the work you've done and the reality of what is true in your heart, that we anchor our souls into that, that we grab hold of and won't let go with our hearts of, that we are tethered, we are bound, we are wrapped up, we are in, we are one with, we are lost, we are in Christ, and he is all and in all now. And Lord, we just want to throw away the doctrinal view of that, that clutters and clogs and replaces the true beauty of what that means as being one and living it, breathing it daily. So help us, Lord. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to get out of ruts and strongholds and areas that you've never been able to possess, in areas where we're discouraged and overwhelmed, in areas where we feel like it can never happen. Lord, stir up the faith of your people. Stir up their most holy faith. Help them, Lord, to be encouraged by Rahab, to find within her elements of your heart that says, you too can enter in. For these things were written for your admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Lord, let that flow out of your heart. Let that flow out of your heart. Let your spirit carry that and bring faith and encouragement to your people who long after you and are seeking you and get discouraged in these places. Let your spirit carry that forth. Cover them and continue to minister to them during this week in these areas, well beyond anything we've discussed today. Let the seeds of what your spirit wanted to say carry forth and bring things to their hearts and minds as they commune with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I will be with people on Skype in a minute, and then I want to meet with the transcribers right before you guys start.